Well, time has changed. When I was when I came to Canada, maybe many years ago, so as you, most of you were born here, so it's different. Well, the Canadian dollar was kind of weak exchange to U.S. And well, since the oil price had gone up, and a lot of us to see our Canadian dollar became very strong, and then all of a sudden we find it very easy to go to States to do shopping, right? In the past, I would not even dare to go, and website was not that popular those days, so you have to go there and to shop. And after the exchange, everything is just not worth the trip. But the last few years, the dollar has been so strong, and the economy was pretty good, and we began to wait for what? Black Friday, you know? When Black Friday came, and we just traveled to the U.S. and scoop up all the good deals. But after you watch the TV on Friday nights, I mean, you'll be glad that you stay home, because it was just, did you watch the TV, the news? People were just literally fighting and trying to grab all those great deals, and then the police were there, and some people get hurt, all these things happening in the U.S., in the malls. And unfortunately, we are doing the same thing. Now we have a good Friday, Black Friday, and then try to compete with the U.S., and then tomorrow we have what? Cyber Monday. So they just want to make sure they can grab your money before the end of December. And so we are so into it. And I'm sure some of us actually literally waiting for the Black Friday to come and then try to get something, and because it's so cheap compared to the regular price. But who will be waiting for the Messiah to come in December? My question is, because we are so starting to get used to waiting for these so-called huge shopping dates, and they all happen almost in December. And it's just, how many of us will actually remember this is the month that we're going to remember the coming of the Messiah? So the topic is, Messiah is coming. So who is waiting? So who is waiting for this? And there's so many meetings. Well, if you are Christians, just like you, you know that December is a crazy month, not because of the Christmas party, but also the church has so many meetings, activities, and I'm not even sure sometimes this would help us to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are so distracted with so many good things and forget about the best things in our lives. And in that 400 years, well, we've been waiting, but for the Jewish people, they've been waiting for many, many centuries. If you look at Malachi, it's the last book written in the Old Testament, and then there are more than 400 years. Can you put up the PowerPoint, my little daughter, Jody? It's Luke chapter 2. They've been waiting for over 400 years. So what happened in that 400 years? Do you see it on the screen, the PowerPoint, Luke chapter 2? And many things happened in that 400 years. And just like this, the Messiah is coming. Who is waiting? In that over 400 years period, things happen. You know, nothing would stop. Time goes on. So in that 400 years, that's what happened. Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, and then synagogue, Greek, Aramaic became the language for the Jewish people. Dynasty, Jews became independent for over 150 years, and then they fell into another dynasty. Someone came in and controlled them, and then Roman Empire, and then Jesus was born around that time. So many things happened in that 400 years. While they were waiting for the Messiah, well, for them, 400 years, for us today, maybe all this could happen in 40 years because of the technology. And we were waiting, and things go on, life goes on, and we have this Black Friday, Cyber Monday, everything is happening. Are you still waiting for the Messiah to come? Over 400 years. It's not talking about 4 months and 4 years, brothers and sisters. 4 years is a long time in our lives. We think 4 years is a long time. And this is 400 years. And how many of Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah to come? And today I'm going to look at this in Luke chapter 2. And if you look at this, there are actually people are waiting for the Messiah, thank God. But my question is, Are you waiting for the Messiah when the December comes around? Or are you still waiting for the Boxing Day, those are shopping days, Christmas parties, coming to the end of the school, your job security, because December, a lot of people get fired, so you are scared. Everything is so distracting. Are you waiting for the Messiah? Or you are waiting for something else? So if you look at this chapter, I thank God for Luke because he recorded these two people. A lot of time we don't talk about them at all because they are not in that wonderful romantic story of how Jesus was born. And because we talk about the wise men, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, of course, but not many times we actually talk about these two people. But they are very important because this story, they met Jesus at the temple, give us an insight, whole lot more about what is going on in the hearts of the Jewish people in those days. And I think it's a reflection, I hope, will be to us. While things are going on, everyone is busy with something, there are people actually still anticipate the coming of the Messiah. If you look at verse 25, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, he was waiting, the word he was waiting. And then in verse 38, talking about Anna, she was looking forward to. Both words, actually in English, are not the same, as you can tell in NIV, but in Greek, they are the same word. The word meaning that they anticipate and are waiting for the anticipated expectation of the coming of Messiah. They expect the Messiah will be coming, and they anticipate this reality. But how many of us are waiting, truly waiting for him to come? And so easy for us to forget in December is a month specially remind us the importance of his coming, especially the first coming. So I have 3 points to share with you today. And Luke chapter 2, the first point I want to share with you is that someone are waiting. Simeon. Look at it, verse 25. Let's look at your Bible. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devoted. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel to come, the comforter. And this tells us that he is a righteous man. He was led by the Holy Spirit. If you look at how Luke described this older gentleman, and he was always led by the Spirit, and he was right there on the same time when Jesus was there with Mary and Joseph, of course, because he was still a baby. So he needed someone to carry him. So the parents were there trying to doing something the Jewish law required, dedicate Jesus to God, and then Simeon came on the same time, the right day. Everything was perfect because he was led by the Holy Spirit. He was told by the Spirit that he would see the Savior of the Jewish people. After 400 years, brothers and sisters, not 4 years, maybe you have not heard somebody for 4 years, you already forget that person. After 400 years, this older gentleman, he was led by the Spirit, and he believed that he will see the Savior. To him, the comforter is very important in those days, because they are thinking they were in distress. If you look back to those days in Jesus' time, you know that they were what? Living under Herod and later on the Roman Empire. They were in distress, and they were thinking about what happened in their histories. The word comforter of Jewish people, this term actually occurred in Isaiah, the comforter. So back in the book of Isaiah, the Jewish people already anticipate the comforter will come to comfort people in distress. They were under captivities. In those days, as you know, when Isaiah was writing this book, so-called, and that was the time the northern Israel, the northern empire, was already taken down by Assyrian. Just imagine. Well, I hope you can imagine with me, because it never happened, so it's hard to imagine. Canada, we are a huge country, okay? So everything east of Ontario, Quebec, were captured by France, okay? Besides Ontario, English Canada, the rest of the English Canada were captured by North Korea. How's that? Will you be living in distress if you're living in Ontario? I hope so. You say, wow, Ontario is so huge, who cares? The East and the West were captured. We are alone in this province. And you live here now. Imagine, you know, North Korea. We're not talking about South Korea. South Korea, maybe you don't mind because there's so many good things coming out from South Korea. You know, the TV shows, you know, good food. Hyundai is pretty good now. So you don't mind. But just imagine, you know, the rest of Canada were captured and conquered, occupied. What kind of, you know, emotional state you are in? You must be in distress. And you need someone to comfort you. Well, Ontario is too big. How about your job? You know, December. As I say, a lot of people lost their job in this month because the company is, you know, looking at the numbers, you know, and they try to cut people off from the payroll unless you meet the quota or the numbers. And December is exam time. A lot of distress. A lot of people are living in so-called miserable time, dates. At the same time, it's December. The coming of the Messiah. We remember, we know that almost 100% for sure Jesus was not born in December. But it's the time we remember his birth, and by the same time we were surrounded by all these wonderful, so-called wonderful problems. And then we really feel really bad. And what do you choose? So that was the time in Isaiah time. We're talking about many, many years ago compared to when Jesus even was born. That was already a few hundred years before. And the people were waiting for a comforter because they were in captivities. The country, southern nation, in the Judah, was under attack. And they really need someone to give them a booster, like an encouragement. Understanding their situations. And so Simeon was talking about the comforter. He was actually referring to the history. They were longing for someone to come and give them a comfort. Today, brothers and sisters, you are sitting here. You look tired. Maybe you look upset. You are hurt. There's reasons. But I want you to see you are not alone. So many people are in distress. The whole nation. In Jesus' time, they were under Roman Empire. Herod was a bad king. And in this situation, I think compared to what we are going through, maybe just a little things. But I hope that God will come and give you some comfort, even now. But Simeon was looking for comfort. And he's talking about the whole nations are waiting, and waiting for this Messiah to come, to give them a comfort. And then we move on to the story. You know, he was talking about salvation. For my eyes have seen your salvation. So he knows this is a deliverer. He hopes the comforter will come and deliver the people from bondage. And then Anna gave us some better understanding. So you see these two people, when Luke was recording these stories, I think he wants to tell us something. That's why he's in here. Anna was talking about something else. If you look at Anna, you see, Luke, interesting, because he was talking about her background all of a sudden, telling us that he came out from the tribe of Asher. You know what Asher means? If you look at Genesis chapter 30, when he was born, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. If you have time, you can look at Genesis chapter 30. And Leah was very happy that he was born. Actually, the maidservant gave birth to this Asher. But he was under Leah because Leah was the master. And the name means happy or prosperity. Leah was very happy because there's another son was born to, at least under her name. They were fighting, you know, the two sisters. So the name means happy or prosperity. Luke tried to tell us Anna, she was the descendant of this tribe. But look at her life. I think there's an irony here too. Anna was a widow for roughly 60 years because in those days, teenage girl already got married, right? So you are thinking about 16, maybe 15 or 16, around that time, girls got married. So she had a husband for 7 years. So she was about early 20s, became a widow. Now she's 80-something. For over 60 years, she was alone. The name, the tribe that she came from, is irony. From a human perspective, was she blessed? Not really. Was she bitter because of experience? Again, not really, because you look at her life. Look at Anna. She stayed in the temple 24/7. Can you imagine 24/7 staying in NCAC building? Oh, must be a very devoted person. She stayed there, not only stayed there, worship day and night. The scripture describes worship day and night, and fasting and prayer. You know, I just wonder who's going to feed her. Maybe the priest? I don't know. But she was there every day, and she had reason to be distressed. But she was looking for what? What does the scripture say? In verse 38, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the what? Redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon talked about the comforter. People are in distress. People are in tough times, in tough situations. People are looking for comfort, which is normal, understandable. But Anna gave us a reason why people are in distress, at least for the nation of Israel. She told us that the redemption of Jerusalem. The term redemption, I think most of you already know what it means. It means a redeem and buy back from a slave market. People were sold, become a slave, and then someone comes, pay the price, you know, buy the slaves. You can then that person become your slave, or you can set that person free. That's your choice because you pay the price for it. And Anna's waiting for redemption of this Jerusalem. What these two people tells us is about the reason why they were waiting for the Messiah. Brothers and sisters, for hundreds of years, the nation were waiting for not just a comforter, but the reason why they need a comforter. We have to look beyond our tough situations, the circumstances we are in. Maybe you are questioning why God is not intervening in your situations. You are not happy. You're upset. You want someone to come along and give you a comfort, give you some encouragement. But Anna tells us that there's something deeper. The people were sinning against God. That's why the nation fell. If you look at Isaiah, you already know that. Last time I showed you, when I was talking, preaching in Isaiah, that's the hope of the Redeemer. The second part of the Isaiah. The first part was God was talking about, you know, condemnation about different nations, including the Jewish nations. And then starting chapter 40, God gave them hope. And in those days, they were talking about the Redeemer. The Redeemer will save, the Redeemer will come. So Anna was thinking about, you know, as a Jewish lady, she knew her history. She knew the struggle for them for centuries. And they were waiting for a Redeemer. And to her, the people are waiting for a Redeemer, not just a comforting in our situations. But Anna actually expressed the reason why we are in trouble. She tells us the reason we are in trouble, because we are far away from God. They worship idols. They enjoy good life. And God warned them many, many, many times, and they will not return. And God punished his own people. And nation come, destroy the land, the promised land, and took away the good people, the top people, the smart people, to Babylon. And they were waiting for a Redeemer to come, and not just a deliverer, you know, just someone to come and set you free from political struggles, but a Redeemer, someone talks about the deep down issues of humanity. We're bondage under sin. And Anna is trying to tell us this is what happened in their hearts in those days when they were waiting for the Messiah to come, because they are truly in distress and it's caused by their separation from God. They ran away from God, and that is the result. And they've been waiting for redemption. God comes, set us free, not just from the Roman Empire, but set us free from the bondage of sin. So point two, Jesus shows up in the temple. Jesus makes people make a choice. You need to choose when Jesus shows up. These two people, Simeon and Anna, I think they already know what they're going to choose. They've been waiting for this Messiah to come, and they are waiting for him to set them free so that they will be comforted when they are set free from all this bondage of sin, the deep down human issues, the problems that we have no answer other than God. And Jesus came. And he came, and he's ready to give us comfort, and he's ready to set us free from sins. As I hope that this passage will remind each one of us, are you waiting for him to come in your life? Especially in these few months, everybody's busy with so many things. Seems we are out of control because all these meetings, parties, work, family, a lot of things that are not in your control. And you are frustrated. But will you be choosing to wait for him to come? Because you know he is the ultimate answer. I think that's the important part of it. Do you realize Jesus is the ultimate answer of our problems? And Simeon said something that's very hard for the parents to swallow. Verse 34. After he talked about how great he will be, and then it comes to 34, verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against." Well, he didn't say, "Well, good for you, your mother of our Savior, you know, wonderful, Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year." No, he didn't say that. He said something, you know, many parents will be wondering. This child will cause conflicts. It's conflicts in our hearts. We need to choose when he shows up in your life. when someone presented Jesus to you, and you are being reminded again how important it is to follow Jesus. You need to make a choice, because this is exactly what Jesus does. When he comes into someone's life, when he is being shown, presented in front of you, you need to make a choice. Do you choose to follow him, or do you choose to accept him? Do you choose that he is your comforter? He's your redeemer? Or you just say, well, he's just a character during Christmas seasons and give us excuse to shop and have holidays and go to all kinds of parties? What is your choice, brothers and sisters? Simeon already tells us, when he comes, really, you might already forgot. Some years ago, when you chose to accept Jesus Christ, you have made a choice. Some of you might not have made this choice yet. But Jesus is coming. And Simeon said, every one of us need to make a choice, because he will cause people to rise and fall. For many, Jesus is a stumbling block. For many, at the same time, he's a cornerstone. If he's a cornerstone, you stand up on a cornerstone, you know, you stand up, you rise, because you stand up on something, just like we go up to this platform. But if you hit the, when you run on the stumbling block, what do? You fall. Jesus is coming. Brothers and sisters, you need to make a choice. In this December, I hope that you will choose to follow him. Well, I'm not done my sermon yet, so keep going. Point three. What is our reaction? What can we learn from these two people, Simeon and Anna? Verse 27. I think there are two things that we can learn from them. Become a follower. Verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now drop down to verse 38. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God. Both of them were led by the Spirit, and they show up at the same time. Then there's not coincidence, because clearly, Luke tells us that they were led by the Holy Spirit, and they respond to the Spirit. They were submissive. Simeon knew that. The Spirit told him that he will see the Savior before he dies. But coming to see Jesus at this moment, at this time, this day, he was led by the Spirit, and he was willing to submit, he was willing to follow, so as Anna show up in the ladies' court. You know, the temple has different courts. For Mary to be there, there must be, and Anna included, must be in the ladies' court. They show up there at the same time, because they were led by the Spirit and they were willing to follow. In the whole story of Christmas, Mary was willing to follow Joseph, the shepherds, and we have this wonderful story because of that. But we forgot about these two people, Simeon and Anna. They were the followers because they truly follow what God asked them to do. My question is, will you be willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life? Will you be willing to follow what he asks you to do? Might not be a pleasant things to do. Might not be easy things to do. Might not be easy decisions to make. But will you be willing to follow? Because if you do not follow, you miss the whole picture. You see, you come to this imagination again. If these two people did not follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, they would not have met Jesus right there, because they were on the way out. Mary and Joseph, you know, they were not waiting for someone to come and greet them, you know. Hi, how are you? You know, this is your Savior. What do you think? They were on the way out. They were just going home. If you miss it, you miss it. You miss the boat, you miss the boat. And they were there because they were willing to follow and submit themselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they met Jesus, the Savior. I hope you would do the same. Second point, become a messenger. Well, if you look at verse 38, it's just wonderful. You have to imagine what's happening in that lady's court, you know, that both of them came up to this family and many people around. You know, it's a temple, so must be a lot of Jewish people there worshiping God, talking to the priests or Levites, doing their things, and it's very busy, people, a lot of people. And then verse 38, just a little sentence, but it's a very important sentence. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She was talking to other people who are waiting for this Redeemer, the Messiah. So just picture with me, you know, they were in a temple, Anna came up, saw Jesus, maybe she heard the conversation between Simeon and Joseph and Mary, and she saw the baby, and then she started talking to other Jewish people around them. You see, this is the Savior, this is the Messiah, this is the Redeemer. Come and take a look. She could not stop talking to people because she'd been waiting for so many years for the Messiah to come, and then now there he was. She could not hold it in, and she shared with all those who are waiting. Brothers and sisters, December is even though it's very busy, distracted, but at the same time, it's a very good season for us to share the gospel. Everybody knows that this is a Christmas. Now they change it to seasonal holiday or something like that. But deep down, everyone knows this is a Christmas time. It's a time to engage people about why we have Christmas. But a lot of time we're just so busy with so many things, we just don't have energy to share why we celebrate Christmas. Closing, I hope this passage will remind us again. People are waiting. People are waiting for the Messiah. You already received the Messiah. You have accepted Jesus Christ. But a lot of people are still waiting. A lot of people are still waiting for this Comforter, Redeemer, the ultimate person who can solve our problems of humanity. They're still waiting. Will you be led by the Holy Spirit and be a messenger to bring the good news to other people? In workplace, it's a time, you know, why celebrate Christmas? What do you do during Christmas? Oh, I go this, I go. You know, you can start conversation easily in the month of December. And it's a wonderful time to share the great news of our Lord Jesus Christ who are coming. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for Simeon and Anna, because we thank God that there are people actually truly anticipate and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Lord, because they see their needs and they understand there's no one else can set them free. Not just political turmoils, persecutions from those kings and politicians, but deep down they know that they need to set free. They need to be set free from sins, the ultimate cause of all those troubles in our lives. Lord, we just pray that as a Christians, we will not forget the meaning of the Christmas holiday, the seasons, that we remember why we celebrate Christmas. If we forget, how can we expect people who do not understand, who do not know Jesus Christ, will come to the knowledge of the reasons why we celebrate Christmas? Lord, help us to make a choice, and help us to make a choice to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that we will not only match you in our lives, but also at the same time we will be able to so eager, just like Anna, sharing the coming of the Messiah. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.